this morning and worship, to come in while you're already in that spirit and strength of worship. And I know that David shared with the children this morning about this frontal, this altar frontal that was made by Sarah Juhas and at Candler School of Theology. And so it was her project, because the context of the liturgy of the time in the scripture was, this is the appointed text for the weekend. So her class that she was taking, they all had the assignment that they had a piece of creating the worship service. And so in creating the worship service, she, as we know from Sarah and Marquita, sitting right over there, have done such beautiful work in so many of the things that have come. So thank you, Sarah, and thank you, Marquita. And what better way to just get us right into the scripture? But first a story, and first a prayer before that. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for the talents and many things that you have blessed this congregation with and their generous hearts. Thank you for the ways this town and area is touched by many people within this church. Continue to strengthen how they give out of their love to help others, and how we want so much, dear God, to follow your guidance in our lives. Amen. The story. It was on February the 20th, 1862. When one of the children of President Abraham Lincoln died from typhoid fever. His name was Willie. And this hurt the family so much, especially Mary Todd, who also had typhoid fever at the time, and also another son, Tad. You see, 12 years earlier, their son Edward, at age 5, had died from sickness. So this time around, when this family was suffering under such loss, he said, we need to have a nurse that will come and help my wife, who is really unable to even help her son by her illness herself, as well as just this horrific loss. For many of you who know some of the things about Mary Todd, Abraham Lincoln's wife, is that she dropped into a deep depression. But this time, they had some help. The chief of the college hospital that was in D.C., Washington, is that sent over one of the people, one of the nurses. After she would finish her shift, she would come over and to the Capitol and help with the children and with Mary Todd. Her name was Rebecca Pomeroy. Rebecca Pomeroy herself had lived through a few things, and over their relationship with each other would have times to talk, she and the president. And during that time, she zeroed in very quickly for him that she too had suffered great loss. Earlier in her life, she had lost 2 children, and she was widowed. Her husband had died. And the president must have asked her, or she just came out with it, to say, if it were not for my faith in God, I don't know how I would have made it, to hold on to my faith. Those were words, I'm sure, that he needed so very much. So one of the times when she had finished her shift and they were bringing her to the house is that the carriage got stuck in the mud. And the president himself went with the people to get the carriage out of the mud so that she could come and help his wife and child. And so when he was helping her, after they put rocks and stones under her feet and between the carriage and to solid ground, he said, now be sure to put your feet in the right place and then stand firm. Be sure to put your feet in the right place and then stand firm. I don't know about you. Have any of you maybe not had your foot in the right place sometimes and didn't stand so firm? I have. Many of you remember it 2 years ago when I was not standing firm because the wires of the vacuum cleaner and maybe another wire there, you know, caught my foot and it made me trip. It wasn't my fault. And so then when I went on my face protecting my feet, I, you know, did the rotor cuff thing and it was injured. And you guys made, in other words, several times, that was a rather dramatic time that I did not stand firm. But look, my arm works. I'm really happy, so. Anyway, thank you for all that you guys do in times like that. There are many times in the Bible that God reminds us to stand firm. In the dialogue that you read before I came into the room, over and over again, those words about standing firm is that God's faithful love is to all generations. Stand firm, for he will always be with us. Stand firm, don't be shaken. Over and over again, these verses come up. And the two scriptures in Thessalonians and in Luke, there were two moments at different points in history that were needing those words of encouragement to stand firm. Because the ground underneath their feet, spiritually and for some of them physically, beginning to shake. And so with that, Thessalonians needed those things that Jesus had said earlier to that setting in Luke. The setting in Luke, you see, is when Jesus, all through Luke, about midway to the end, has mentioned, I am on the journey, I'm on the way to Jerusalem. He set his face toward Jerusalem. He knew what he had to do. He knew where he was going. He knew to head that way because of what was in store for his own life, but also what was at stake for the people, all people of every time and place. But, of course, Jerusalem was welcoming him, and followers of him were welcoming him as perhaps the Messiah that was coming. And so the encouragement that he gives to them is different later on in that week, the scripture that we have for today, than some had thought. See, some had thought that the one that when God's person was going to come, it made sense. That the children of God, the Israelites, those the Jewish in that time and place, that they were going to be restored to be premier rather than the Roman government, rather than being taken over by this empire. Sometimes in our lives, do we feel like that there are things or people or times in our life that we feel like that we're caught in a situation where it's not our fault, it's not anything we've done, but we know that we are under perhaps some pressure from another source or some event that has happened to feel a little bit like, wouldn't it be nice if somebody came in and just turned it all the right way and we'd be stable and fine again? The kind of Messiah for them that would put out the Romans and lift them up again so they would not have this tyranny over them. That's oversimplified kind of look at it. But in your own life, that happens. And we, just like they, need to be reminded to stand firm. See, the temple was going to fall. The temple did fall eventually. And that's what was about the time period that Thessalonians happened. They were in a need to be reminded of how to stand firm. And so some of the things that come through for them are the reminders from the Old Testament. But I love the one from Proverbs, where Proverbs says, but, you know, Proverbs, I mean, you can't find firm footing in a swamp. The next part of that is to be rooted in God. But you can't find firm footing in a swamp. Doesn't that just really need a different accent? You know, it needs to be on our country music weekend. Well, you know, you just can't find firm footing in a swamp, can you? You know, and you really can't from anything. Some of you have had your own children slip in the mud coming out of the water in the lake or in the swimming pool. I know some of you probably have done some slipping yourself. Can you find the firm footing? Or another thing to be reminded of in the Old Testament, for the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, and the purposes of his heart through all generations. You got to know if you're going to stand firm that you're standing on the right thing in the right place for the right reasons. See, Jesus knew that what we all still need is the kind of kingdom that he was ushering in. The kind of kingdom, the kind of reminding us how we treat one another, how we connect with one another, how we care for one another. And And when we do that, we begin to see the whole world kind of differently. There's a reason why he kept emphasizing with his words, with his examples, be careful, because, you know, it'll be somebody like one of those Samaritans that might be the hero of the story. It might be one of those people that you put out or put down that might be the very person that will be influential in your life to get you through your tough time. Over and over again, he was bringing in a kingdom of love, to love God, to love others, to not think about yourself so much, but to give yourself to others to help. Now, another sermon for another day would be to go down the path of saying there are some times when we need to do some standing up just for ourselves and not let someone else, you know, be. But that's another sermon for another day. For this one is emphasizing all the reasons that we can and should stand firm. Let's go over just some of those sayings again. I like it. The next one is, what stands firm, God's faithful love, is that, let's just say that together. What stands firm? God's faithful love. What else stands firm? The plans of the Lord. What else stands firm? The purposes of the Lord's heart. In that phrase right there, if you're feeling like the ground's moving underneath your feet, the plans and the purposes of God. Just hearing that phrase can remind us of how much God loves us, how much Jesus gave for us, and to realize that his purpose and his heart is for that love to be a part of us so deeply that we can't help but change the world around us a little bit. And so then, how do we do this? How do we stand firm ourselves? Don't be shaken. How else do we stand firm? To be courageous and strong. And how else can we stand firm? Rooted in God. During one of the hurricanes years ago, my brother and his wife, they were living in Charlotte. And this was one that the hurricane kind of skipped over Charleston, even though they thought it was going to hit the coast of Charleston. But it still kind of skipped over that and hit with still hurricane wind force up through South Carolina all the way up to Charlotte. Think about that geographically, how much that took and how strong that hurricane was. So that when it hit his yard, they heard a horrible crash. He and his wife were on one side of the house, and the storm was on the other side of the house. Because what it did was it took one of those trees that didn't have some good, strong roots and just easily uprooted it. And with the force of the wind, went through the side of the house up through the roof. When you have moments like that, this scripture really becomes really vivid to you, doesn't it? Have some deep roots. But make sure your roots, just like where you put your foot, is firm rootedness in the right thing, a firm footing in the right thing. And so we're told over and over again how we can be firm footed and firm rooted. To be rooted in the living word of God. Just be rooted in his word. To know those verses that give you strength, that call you to attention, that call you into purpose. To be rooted in Christ. And the rootedness in Christ, especially in some of the writings of Paul, it is so strong and vivid. In Ephesians, it says, I pray that you will be, Paul is speaking to the people of Ephesus at that point, I pray that you will be rooted and grounded in God's love. For his love is deep, his love is high, his love is wide. Be rooted in his love so that you will be able to tell love to others and live love so that you will be able to live strong in his love. You heard the scripture read to you, thank you, Carol, about that there are times that we might have to be called into saying words that we might feel like that being a Christian is hard and living a life. But if we can be rooted in his word, rooted in the reminders of his love, rooted in kindness, then that can help us remember. To think about it, it's really neat that the remembering God's promises for us remembering his yes comes because of God through Jesus Christ. So stand firm. All right, I think you've got those two words down, right? Maybe, I wish I had a little jingle to sing, you know, for it to really sink in so that it would annoy you all week. Stand firm, stand firm, stand firm in the Word, stand firm in Christ, stand firm in God. And then you might think, gosh, it's the last Sunday that we emphasize stewardship. What did that have to do with stewardship? Well, on the one hand, maybe nothing. But on the other hand, part of being firm and standing rooted in God is that it opens up our hearts to realize that stewardship, just like Eric Jakubowski has reminded us, isn't a 1-3-week period. It's not just a one card that you stick in a slot. It's so much more than that. In fact, just by your presence here today, you're doing stewardship. You've chosen in the stewardship of your time to make time to be here. And sometimes it's a lot of effort to show up, an awful lot of effort to show up. So stewardship, it's about your every choice. So on that other hand, it's about stewardship. This sermon, stand firm. Thanks be to God.